Hello and welcome to the 21st episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch, and I can't believe that I have a podcast that can now legally drink. That's crazy to me. I hope everyone's been having a good week. I realized as I was cutting together the 20th episode that I came off as kind of depressed maybe or a little worn down, and that's partly true, but it's important to remember, you know, the positive parts of being a parent. I don't really talk on this podcast about every time Lucy does something adorable because, frankly, I can't remember them all. Even little things like last night she woke up from her nap and was still kind of groggy and wanted to be held and look like a little koala, you know. All those little things are amazing and wind up completely overshadowing all the bad stuff. But sometimes it takes a little time. Last week's episode, I talked about how kind of frustrated I was with her at swim class. Well, it turned out when my wife took her last time on Saturday, she did everything. Everything that we tried to do when I took her, she actually did this time. I don't know if it was me. I don't know if, you know, she just wanted to focus on what she wanted to focus on when I was with her and something was different when it was my wife. Maybe she just needed to take the information in one way, kind of observe it. And then later on, she could do it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe she noticed that I was getting frustrated and then didn't want to do it herself. But with my wife, she did everything that she was asked to. She went underwater, she did the push-offs, everything. So I was glad to hear that. And then I felt a little bad that maybe I was projecting like negativity. But I try not to do it outwardly. But sometimes I've been told that I can just be in a room and my emotions can be felt by everybody else. I'm not very subtle. and that's, I guess, just part of who I am. But I'm trying to not let things get to me quite as much as they have in the past. But it's a, you know, a daily struggle, of course. I will get into one story that was a little frustrating, but also because it was kind of funny now that I'm a certain amount of time away from it. But last Friday, I had an interview at 4:30. I do this weekly interview with the producer of the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon on Disney XD, and the posts go up on Comic Book Resources on that Monday after. So the show is on Sunday, the post goes up Monday. It's kind of like a recap interview thing. Since it was at 4:30 on Friday, I hadn't really thought about the fact that I usually stop working at 5:00. And that I would need to transcribe this thing and get the story together over the weekend, which I don't really like. But, you know, what are you going to do? It happens every now and then. I figured since it was 4:30, that was kind of a sweet spot. I'd be able to keep her up until maybe like 3:00 and then get her to go down around 3:30, maybe even 4:00. And she would just nap right through the interview. Of course, earlier in the week, she'd gone to sleep around 11:00. Just fell asleep on a couch, and I had nothing to do with it. And then the day before, she fell asleep around the right time, so I thought, okay, cool. I got this. This is going to work. And I didn't want to do the daycare thing because, first of all, I didn't think of it, and second of all, I really, really thought that this would not be a problem. Well, it turned out she didn't nap at all. At like 3:30, I started trying my, you know, my normal tricks. I will play video games and kind of hold her, and she'll sometimes just fall asleep that way. The skateboarding game I play, Skate 3, is a real winner when it comes to that. I don't know if she's just so bored from it that she doesn't care anymore, or if, you know, just me holding her in like one spot kind of lulls her to sleep. Whatever it is, that tends to work. She's also just been falling asleep on her own. That's what she did today. She was finished with Brave, and she laid down and fell asleep because she was tired, which is fantastic. But she did not sleep that Friday. I started trying my normal things. I took her in the bed. I tried, you know, laying down with her. She did not want to sit still. She did not want to be held. She didn't want to do anything that would put her to sleep. When she gets like this, we call her a little shark because she just keeps moving constantly. She's just like trudging through a room. She looks like a guy that just woke up from like a frat party and is trying to find his way around. Just like, just a machine, a blunt instrument, trying to do one thing, and that is stay awake. There was one point where I was in the bed with her, in our bed, and I was laying down, and she just was kicking away from me. She wanted nothing to do with it. So I was like, all right, I got to start getting ready. At this point, I had like a half hour, or maybe even 20 minutes before the interview. So I got up, I came out to the living room, I'm doing some stuff to get ready, and I realized that she hasn't come out, and it's been a few minutes. So then I walk back into the bedroom, and I see her wrapped up in a blanket, but then she sees me, and as soon as she saw me, she woke right up and was like, Daddy, Daddy, come here. And I really blew it on that one. I should have given it a couple more minutes or just, you know, peeked in and not done the full walk into the room thing, which I did do. So I did blow it a little bit. So part of it's my fault. So with, you know, no time left, I called in and I use a tiny recorder that I got when I was a wizard. And it's great because it actually like unclips from itself and turns into a USB that you can then plug into your computer and then just move the digital file over. It's not like a tape recorder or anything. It's all digital. And I've tried a lot of different ways of recording it. And the way that works best for me for now is to plug a microphone that's basically the size of an earbud for like an iPod or whatever. And that goes in your ear. And then there's a microphone on the end of it that touches the phone. So it hears everything. And then since it's in your head, it records your voice too. The problem with that is that it's not like the clearest recording of all time. I haven't really found like an app that does it well. And when I was at Wizard as an intern, we had these little boxes that would plug into the landlines that would just give you an out, and that out would go right into your recorder. And that was perfect because it got, you know, the pure signal coming in from their end and your end. So it was as good as you could get. This one gives a lot of background noise because it's in your head. I move around when I talk on the phone. I'm either standing or I'm, you know, shifting around in my seat. I've just always been like that on the phone, especially cell phones. When I was at work in an office, I could sit there and do it, but still fidgeting. I'm fidgeting right now. It's just how I roll, I guess. So it's kind of a crackly recording anyway. And then as soon as I dial the phone, she was watching TV and I gave her some blueberries and I thought, you know, that would really like calm her down and everything. And I gave her some popcorn. And I realized a little bit later as I was doing the interview that all she was doing was picking up the popcorn, dipping it in her cup of water, and then throwing it on the floor. So I was like, come on, kid, you wanted popcorn all day. But as soon as I dialed in, said hello, she thinks that every call that we get is from grandparents. So she started calling for grandma and grandpa, my parents. And then Grammy and Papa, my wife's parents. I was like, no, no, no. I'm trying to, you know, silently wave her away. And you can mute the phone, of course, so your sound doesn't go through. But we were in the middle of a conversation. And the people that I talk to know that I have a kid because she's done this before. She's woken up from her nap early or, you know, it just hasn't always worked out. But it felt like she was louder than normal this time. And it was really, really getting on my nerves because I know that she was tired and she was trying to keep herself awake by doing all this extra stuff that was loud and obnoxious and ultimately wound up on the recording and I'm sure heard by the people. And the problem with her talking with this setup that I have is that that sound, because I'm hearing it, it's going into my regular ear, it's also hitting the microphone. So her screaming while the guy is talking winds up completely bobbling up my recording, and I can't always make out everything that's going on. Plus, when she starts talking, I move faster than normal, and that can cause a shuffling on the recording as well. What I'm doing right now for this podcast is I have like a legit microphone going right into my computer. I don't know how much background noise you can hear when I do this. I've only got like the fan on, and there's a clock, and the computer's being kind of loud right now because it's hot, but I don't think there's a lot of background noise, but with this thing, it's like, with that, plus talking, plus screaming toddler, it's pretty tough. My wife was like, you need to not let this bother you so much. But I'm like, first of all, this is my work. If you had the kids show up and you're the only one around and she's screaming at you while you're trying to be on a call with somebody, that would be frustrating. It becomes even more frustrating when you're trying to concentrate on what the person is telling you so that you can form a follow-up question to ask after that, and you know at the same time that all of this going on is going to make your transcription process later on all the more difficult. All of which was going through my head as she was screaming at me and I was trying to do my work. And not for nothing, it's super unprofessional to have a screaming child. You know, obviously that was not something that we had to deal with when I worked in an office. It is a very real fact of my life now that I try to avoid at all costs. I talked about that quite a bit. And these people I've gotten to know, you know, fairly well. We're not friends because we don't really know each other, but we're friendly for sure. So I think they understand. But still, I really don't like coming off as unprofessional. I still always have this thing of, like, you never know when your job's going to kind of disappear thing. So, you know, if one day they're like, this guy's always got his kid awake, can we do this with somebody else? Even if it's not my full job, if they want to contact, you know, my editors and be like, hey, can we talk to somebody that doesn't have a screaming child in the background? That would be awesome. You know, that's possible. It's also reasonable because, you know, you don't want to be interrupted when you're talking to somebody. So that was kind of a bummer. And then I was getting frustrated all over again on Sunday when I sat down to transcribe it because I'm trying to hear what he's saying. And all of a sudden it's like, blueberries! And that was making me frustrated all over again. But that is the last time I'm going to use the word frustrated in this episode, I promise. Because it was pretty much the word of the day last time. And like I said, I'm trying to be a lot more positive. We had a ton of fun this week when we went to the fair in Cornwall. Now, this is a fair that the local firemen put on, and I guess it's something like 60 years old. And it's pretty tiny. It kind of reminded me of the festival that I used to go to back in my grade school, Christ the King in Toledo. But that was much bigger. It had a huge tent, and they served beer, which this one did not. I thought that was interesting. But otherwise, you know, a lot of the same carnival rides, a lot of the same carnival games. I'm still shocked every time I go to one of these things. And when you play, like, the balloon pop game with a dart, you know, instead of three darts for a dollar, it's one dart for $2, which is bonkers to me. And it was even more frustrating. Oh, I did it again. But it's not in regards to the kid, so it's okay. It's even more frustrating when you pay the $2 to play the balloon pop game. You ask your kid, hey, which one do you want? What color balloon should I go after? She tells you, and then you throw it, and you miss. And I could say that there was some wind, which there was, and maybe it blew my balloon a little bit, so I missed it. But at the same time, I missed it, and it doesn't really matter. My wife said that she saw a guy who threw it, and it, like, bounced off the balloon. I don't think that would have been a problem, because I'm a pretty good dart player. But then again, they do give you, you know, the little chintzy darts. They come packed in with every dartboard ever made, but they've been thrown by like a million people. But Lucy loved this place. I mean, she pretty much, like, as soon as we put her on the ground, she was running throughout the entire thing, looking at every ride. She wanted to ride everything from the one that's, you know, a big arm that swoops you all the way around, up and down and all this craziness, to the all the spinny ones. Of course, we didn't let her on those. We wound up settling for this one that put her in a little car and went around in a circle, which she took very seriously. Her driving, it was very important to her. She got in, and, you know, it went, and she kept her hands on the wheel for most of the time. She did look up at the big umbrella over her at one point, but it was really cute to see her because she kept her hands on the wheel. She was looking forward. She would look over at us and kind of smile, but she was very focused on what she was doing. And she really liked this green Jeep that also had, like, the Hot Wheels sticker on the side. I would have gone for the little Corvette if it was me, but that's what she went with. We went Thursday. That was the day it opened. It wasn't as crowded, and we just did the one ride. It was starting to look real stormy, so I was like, maybe we should go. Plus, I knew that we were planning on going again on Saturday with Em's parents. Before going back to the fair, we went to Bear Mountain Park, which is not too far from us. We've been there a few times, mostly for Oktoberfest, which is an event I love because you can get a gigantic beer and it's delicious, plus some kielbasa. But we don't go necessarily, you know, just to hang out. We found out, though, that we're pretty much the only people in the area that don't do that because we had to park back where we have to park when it is Oktoberfest time. So it was pretty busy, but it's such a gigantic park that it didn't feel crowded. They've got kind of a walking zoo there that we went to, and I'm not a big fan. I've talked about not being a big fan of zoos. I especially don't like this one because all of the cages seem way too small for me. Now, they say that a lot of these animals are there because they were rescued, but I don't know. Something about keeping an owl or an eagle or whatever in a box outside just seems really kind of cruel. Plus, like, coyotes and foxes, I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me. Plus, the bears, they're just, like, on a concrete slab. They've got, like, a little pool, and they were, like, surrounded by almost two dozen vultures who were all just down there hanging out, which makes me think that vultures do not taste very good, basically. But that was pretty creepy. There were two bears walking around doing their thing, and then all these vultures. And the funny thing, you didn't really have to pay to get in. You can do donations, so we paid, like, $5 for all of us to go in. All of us being my in-laws as well, they were visiting. Lucy just kind of likes to walk on paths at zoos. That's what I've noticed, because we took her down to the one in Central Park, and we did this one, and she just likes being outside on a path walking forward, I think. And so that's pretty much what she was doing. I was like, look, there's bears over there. And she was like, meh, and then just kept going. And look, there's turtles. And look, there's an owl. None of that really interested her. So, you know, she just kept walking. I kind of stayed up with her. And she still had a good time. After that, we walked back to kind of a part that was a little bit less crowded. Then Em, her mom, and Lucy went on this old merry-go-round they have that's pretty cool. It's got a lot of interesting animals, like an otter and like a duck and a rabbit and all that kind of stuff, in addition to the traditional horses. And then we went outside, and Em and I tossed the Frisbee around for a little bit, but it was just getting so hot, and I was getting uncomfortable. I was like, you know what? We're going to be outside again later today. Let's go home. I really don't like being sweaty outside unless I'm doing something really active. Like, I'll play Ultimate Frisbee in hot, hot weather with my friends, but that hasn't happened in years. I don't like just sitting out there. I feel like I'm stewing. I sweat so much. I get uncomfortable. And then it sticks in your clothing. And it's just not something I enjoy. So we came back here. My in-laws went to check into their hotel. And then they came back after a little bit. And we went back to the fair. And Lucy rode more rides. And she had a great time. She actually went on the big person Ferris wheel with my wife. And had like no fear of any of it. You could see the river, she said, which sounds really cool. You could see the Hudson, which is not too far from Cornwall. But I gotta say, fairs are kind of a ripoff. You wind up paying like a buck a ticket, and then you have to give them several tickets to ride the rides. You know, three for a little kiddie ride where you get on a car and drive around in a circle. And the food actually wasn't too bad. I did a post on my food blog about the deep-fried Oreos I had, and those were worth it. The corn dog I got was not worth it because it came out of a box and they literally heated it up. It wasn't even dipped there. And it looked like they made their own fry dough and a couple other things, but I was a little put off by that. We did get some pizza from the firemen. The firemen were selling their own food in a different area, but the carny food itself was kind of a ripoff. And then these things are just designed to get parents to spend money for their kids because every parent knows that this stuff is a huge ripoff. You can go into, you know, the Oriental Trading Company and buy a box of 50 toy dolphins for what it would cost you to play the dart game three times. You know what I mean? It's pretty crazy. But you're in that zone and your kids are having a great time and they want to do all the stuff. And you're like, all right, I guess we'll do it. And I mean, where else are you going to ride those rides? But I don't know. It got a little bit greedy for my tastes the longer we were there. But like I said, Lucy had a great time. They were doing fireworks afterwards, but they were waiting until like 10:30. It was just too late. Lucy was getting tired, and I know she would have stayed up and run around that fair some more, but I think she would have really been tough to get down. And she wound up falling asleep in the car, and we put her down to bed, and she stayed asleep for the whole night, so that wound up being good. And, you know, it's good to get her out, obviously, and run her around. Now that the heat's kind of finally broken from its oppressive nature from the past few weeks, I'm gonna try and get her outside more, both to just, you know, air her out and also to, you know, wear her out a little bit, because she gets a lot of energy. She's, you know, a little kid, and she doesn't do as much stuff as she probably could, so it's something I'm trying to work on. Oh, something else we did recently. I've been going grocery shopping on my own for a while because I think I talked about this in an earlier episode, but she was getting really, really difficult to deal with. She wanted to run around, grab all the food, eat it, and then throw it on the ground, all this stuff, poke everything. And I was like, Em, it's just a lot easier if I go by myself. And probably for the last 4 to 6 weeks, I've been able to do that. But we were pretty low on food, and I had done enough planning ahead of time in my head to figure out how to do it. The problem that I fall into sometimes is that I'll do my morning work and then I'll, you know, the dishes that are piled up from the weekend will start bothering me and I want to get in there and do those. And then by the time I'm done with that, I realize that it's late enough that we're in the nap zone. And if I take her in the car and she falls asleep, that's bad news because then she won't really nap, or it'll be difficult to get her into the store because I can't really carry her while I'm doing grocery shopping. I did that when she was a very tiny baby, and even then it got difficult to do. So it's just been easier to do it on my own. But today I had it planned out. I already had my list made from last night, and I had thought about it. I was like, do your work in the morning, do the dishes later, get her ready and go, and then come back and you'll have plenty of time to get your stuff done. You'll still get a nap in and all that. So I did exactly that. We went to get Milo cat food first, and she fell asleep. So I got her out of the car seat, and I carried her, And a girl that worked there was very nice and, you know, brought the big friggin' bag of cat food out to my car for me. And so, you know, I said, thank you very much. I'm always appreciative when people do nice things when they don't have to, because they don't have to. And that just shows that they're nice people. And I appreciate that. I probably should have tipped her, but I didn't have any cash on me. So I got her back in the seat. She kind of woke up as that was going on. And then by the time we got to the grocery store, she was back awake. And I was very glad about that, because otherwise I really wasn't sure how I was going to finagle this whole thing. I have a stroller in my car, but that would not have been easy either. Pushing that and the cart, I've done that before, and it's tough. And this is a different stroller than that. It's a lot flimsier, so I don't really know how it would have worked. Anyway, she woke up, and she actually did very well. I gave her the list and the pen, and she was kind of drawing a little bit, and she didn't want down for a little bit, and then she did. And I was like, hold on, wait till we're out of this section. And then she got distracted by something. And then I got a few more aisles over, and she wanted to get out and be like, no, hold on, we got to go do this. And I was able to keep her in. She got a little bit antsy towards the very end, but we were literally walking up to pay. And she gets real docile when we get in line, because she likes saying hi to all the people that work there and everything. So once we got into line and I unloaded all the groceries, she was all right. And so it actually went pretty well. And I know she's not always going to be like this, and she's eventually going to calm down, and I'm at some point going to be able to take her with me, and she's going to be able to grab stuff for me and do things that'll actually be helpful. But in the meantime, I'm just trying to keep it as simple as possible and avoid getting screamed at bloody murder by a toddler in a store, because that's not, you know, a good look for anybody. Getting into a little bit of TV talk. We've watched less Wreck-It Ralph, which means not every single day for the past 5 days. Although for a while there, it was every single day. She skipped a few days. She did watch it this morning. She watched Brave as well. But my in-laws were able to find a copy of Snow White on DVD that they gave to her. And when we got back on Sunday from a brunch that we had with her parents, and then they took off back for New Hampshire because it was going to be a real stormy kind of bummer of a day. So they went home to beat that. We're coming home, we're like, hey, Luce, do you want to watch Snow White? We finally have it. She would randomly ask for this movie every now and then. We're like, oh, we don't have it. We'd look on Amazon, and it's pretty expensive, and it's back in the vault or whatever, so it's not easy to get. The next time they went yard sailing, after my wife talked to her mom about keeping an eye out for it, they found it, and it was like a buck. So we're coming home, we're like, do you want to watch Snow White? And she's like, Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty's been kind of inching its way into the regular playlist. She asked for it, but she doesn't seem to really be that into it. I think she just knows the character from the Disney Princess Tea Party video and like some of the other stuff she has. But she watched that, and then Snow White was on, and she wound up falling asleep. But today, she watched it once all the way through, and then pretty much would have watched it again, but we went and did our errands. You know, she really loved that movie, and it's pretty good. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it didn't work right away when we put it in the DVD player, so we put it in the Blu-ray player. And this reminded me of something that I actually recorded a little bit about, but wound up cutting from an episode that was running too long, and it came off a little bit too curmudgeonly. But I've actually talked to a few people, and they have a similar complaint, so I did want to throw this out there. The weird thing about Blu-ray versus DVD, obviously Blu-ray looks a lot better. But one thing that I've noticed, and this might just be the brands of players that I have. I'm not sure if it's a universal thing. I really don't have that much experience outside of the pieces of equipment that I have. So maybe it's a different experience. But this is something that my wife and I have noticed. And I've noticed with a few other people as well after some conversations. But with a DVD, you put it in, you hit DVD menu after a certain point, and it goes there. It either goes there or it doesn't. And then you can just skip through whatever previews there are, if there are any. And you're right there. You're at the main menu. You hit play. You're good to go. With a Blu-ray, though, it seems to take a lot longer because you hit the pop-up menu button. And the way it works, maybe, and again, maybe this is just Disney DVDs. I'm not sure. But you hit the button. It brings up a menu on the very bottom. And it says next preview. And then you've got to scroll to the left to hit play movie. But that menu only stays up for as long as whatever screen you're looking at. So if it's the screen that's saying, hey, a Planes trailer is coming up, and then it switches to the trailer, that menu option goes away, and you've got to hit the button again and then click over. So you've got to be, like, faster at this, and that's really annoying. But I do appreciate that when you hit play movie, it actually goes to play movie. Even some of them don't even have that option. You hit the pop-up menu button and nothing happens. That's how the Toy Story 3 Blu-ray is. We've got to skip through every single commercial and preview in the beginning of that. I gotta say, I understand why previews are in front of movies. You want to get your product out as much as possible and hopefully get more people to buy your things. But when you make it so that you can't skip around a menu on something that somebody buys, I think that's kind of BS. And again, I understand what they're trying to do and what they are doing. It's not, you know, a surprise or anything. And I'm even okay with it on rental discs. I understand when you've got a rental, you're not necessarily getting your money right away, but you want to advertise to this new group. But if I buy a movie, I clearly like it. I know what I want. I've got it. I don't want to have to look through the same previews every single time. And obviously that feeling is exacerbated by the fact that I watch these movies all the time. We're still in heavy Brave rotation, Wreck-It Ralph. Toy Story movies have lessened off to an extent, but they're still favorites. Peter Pan's in pretty heavy rotation again. We have not watched Totoro in a while, which has been interesting. I think it's a little too heavy for her, as I mentioned in a previous post. Even Brave is starting to get a little bit scary for her because she worries that the mom, when she's a bear, is going to hurt Merida, I think, and that the dad is going to hurt the mom bear towards the end. And that makes her a little anxious. She goes, Mom, no, when the bear kind of flips to animal mode. But these are just a few things that I've noticed as a parent who watches these things a lot. And you would think that even more so with children's entertainment, everybody knows that kids like to rewatch things. If you could even make it a tiny bit easier for me to get through this, that would be great. I know I've had some complaints about Disney in the past, especially with the fact that they do not offer digital copies with everything they sell. And so, yeah, I've got another problem with their menu system. I'm expecting guards with mouse-shaped ears to show up any minute. But, again, not trying to stick into negativity here. Trying to get into positive stuff, which is a good segue into the Pop Papa seal of approval for this week, which is going to go to a Disney product, actually. My wife was scoping out the Disney store sale recently, a couple weeks back. They were having this big blowout, and we got a Merida doll. It's like 2 feet tall. It's gigantic. And I had gotten a box of toys that were San Diego Comic-Con exclusives from one of my contacts. And she got all excited when this big box came and it was filled with toys. But I'm like, it's not toys for you. And that day we got a similar box, but it was from our Disney stuff. And I was like, Em, can I give her like one of these things? Because, you know, I just felt kind of bad. And she said, yeah, go for it. And so I gave her the Merida doll. And this kid fell over this thing. She's in love with it. She loves carrying it around. A little bit less so than when I first gave it to her, but, you know, she still really likes it. I love that she runs around and says, you know, she calls the doll Brave instead of Merida sometimes. It's a little bit 50-50. She'll go back and forth, and that's always really funny. But, you know, you got to give it to Disney. While I've got, you know, some complaints about their DVD presentations, they make great movies. That's obviously a Pixar one, but, you know, Disney owns the company now, so there's some credit to be given. But they also make quality products based on their franchises and their films. And, you know, that's what they do. That's why they've been able to stay so relevant for so long. And that's pretty cool. So, you know, for making a doll that my kid loves, it could have been anything. But she loves this one. She's also got a Cinderella doll that our friends Ben and Megan gave her when she was born. But we weren't able to give it to her for a while because for some reason it was, you know, for two and up or whatever. But she had both of them and she was sitting in her chair with them and talking to them. And these are like her princesses. So for making quality products that, you know, my kid enjoys and loves the heck out of, Disney gets the Pop Papa seal of approval for making this awesome Merida doll from Brave. This week's Pop Papa of the Week is another real person. This time I'm giving it to a comic book writer. If you're a comic book fan, you've definitely heard of him. If you're not a comic book fan who's read maybe a couple comics and kind of likes the idea of them, but isn't necessarily like a Marvel or DC superhero fan, you've also probably heard of him. And frankly, even if you've never heard his name, You've probably seen his work on shows like Lost and Under the Dome, which is on right now, and that is Brian K. Vaughan. I've had the pleasure of interviewing Brian several times through my job at CBR, where I am the image contact. He's got a book coming out called Saga right now that is, by and large, across the board, one of the best reviewed, most enjoyed comics around. It's the story of two aliens from opposite sides of a ages-long war who came together and have had a kid and are moving throughout the universe in an attempt to find a good life for themselves. There's a lot of other stuff going on, but in my conversations with him and in covering the panels that he did at New York Comic Con last year, and it's been cool to talk to him, both as dads, because he said that part of the reason he decided to make Saga, which is the story of parents and their new child, is that, you know, he has his own kids, and the experiences that he had can translate into this comic book story, but you can also add in all this other sci-fi fantasy stuff. And I also like him as a creator because, as I mentioned before, he writes a lot of books that you can hand to pretty much anybody, even superhero ones. He did a teen book called Runaways that everybody loves. There's several volumes of it. I specifically have the three hardcovers. They're in digest form. I'm sure they're digital. You can get them in a lot of different ways. And he created an entire new group there. He did a really great Doctor Strange miniseries called The Oath. But he's probably more known for his, you know, creator-owned books like Why the Last Man, which found a mysterious event killing off all but one of the human males on the planet and one male monkey, and kind of the trials and tribulations that went along with that journey, and the political slash sci-fi thriller Ex Machina, and now he's doing Saga, which is this great sci-fi epic that people compare to Star Wars, but it's a lot different from Star Wars. It's also very grown up, so it's not actually for kids. But I appreciate that this man who creates these things, these epic stories, has decided to do them his own way. He's got a series at Image Comics, which means it's creator-owned, between him and his artist, Fiona Staples. And then he's got another series that he's producing online that I'll put a link to in the show notes, that's called The Private Eye, that's been really fantastic. I appreciate that kind of creative force mixed with some ingenuity that has brought him to different outlets that maybe other creators might not want to go down. I also appreciate the simplicity with which he looks at comics. He did a talk that I took to heart completely in my writing of comic book scripts, where he said that he does 5 panels per page. He tries not to use too much dialogue. And if you can't get that information in 5 panels, then maybe you need to cut down on what you're trying to say. Of course, every now and then you can go 6 or 8. You can do more if you want. But that idea really stuck with me because I'm the kind of comic book reader who, when I get to a page that has like a ton of dialogue, I kind of zone out, or I'll close the book and be like, ugh, I'll come back later. And that can really kill the momentum. And I also want to be as concise as possible. But you're also dealing with an artist when you do comics, and that is something that I think a lot of writers forget, that you don't necessarily need to explain everything because a lot of stuff is going to be on the page visually that you don't even have to say. I think he's the kind of guy that has a lot of amazing ideas and puts them out there, and I appreciate a lot of the kind of like alternative parenting things that he has put into Saga. You know, the first page is the heroine Alana giving birth to her daughter, and you know, there's breastfeeding on the first cover and all this stuff that used to be normal and now people freak out about, but it's out there, and it's cool just to see that in comics, especially because it's something that my wife and I have kind of gotten into and talked about and discussed and all that kind of thing. So it's neat to see little things even later on, now that the kid is born, that kind of pop up that are like, oh, we did that. That's cool. I'm trying to get my wife to read this book, but she hasn't really been on a comic kick in a while. But I think she'd really dig it. I think anybody would really dig it. I mean, that's kind of how his books are. They're simple enough that you can hand to anybody because everybody can get the basic concept. This is the last guy on Earth. This politician can talk to machines. these two people are basically Romeo and Juliet with a kid trying to avoid, you know, intergalactic war. And he writes simply, not simple-mindedly or anything, but in a way that anybody can just pick something up and understand it. I could give you the first trade of Saga, and you would not need to know anything else because it's the first trade. That's the benefit of doing creator-owned stuff. And so for being, you know, an inspiration as far as writers go, I think every writer, professional and amateur like myself, look up to this guy for being able to create these kinds of stories that everybody wants to read. And still doing them in comics when he's obviously found success outside of comics. He said before that he loves this medium and he likes working with it. He loves working with artists and coming up with these stories and trying to create stories that could only work in this medium. But also being open to the idea of interpretation down the line is films or television shows, which he also has experience in. So, you know, for being inspiring, for putting some parenting stuff in his books that maybe other people haven't done yet, I give Brian K. Vaughan the pop-up of the week. All right, gang, that's going to wrap everything up for this episode. I appreciate you tuning in for the 21st episode of the Pop-Pop and Napcast. If you want to find out any notes about what I talked about, links where you can buy things or check things out, head on over to poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. If you want to read my pop culture musings, you can find those over at United Monkey. That's monkee.com. I also have a food blog called Monkeying Around the Kitchen that I've done pretty well at keeping updated so far, but by saying that, I'm probably jinxing it. That is monkeingaroundthekitchen.com. That's all one word, no spaces. And if that's just not enough of me to handle, I am on Twitter at Papadich, PoppaDietschch. And that's about all I got. I'm also on CBR. You can see the link to my work. You can see the link to my work on the show notes. And that's it for me. I hope you have a good week.